You're listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
This is the CRM Archaeology Podcast. It's the show where we pull back the veil of cultural resources management archaeology and discuss the issues that everyone is concerned about. Welcome to the podcast. Hello and welcome to the CRM Archaeology Podcast, episode number 150. That's a huge lie. So you're watching this, but I'm also kind of trying to do a little cross promotion here.
Yeah.
So people at the CRM Archaeology Podcast can know that this live show exists when Richie and I can manage to get together, because it's been pretty bad this fall.
Yeah, it's also a chance for us to catch up.
Yeah, absolutely, because we haven't even talked in like weeks, I feel like. So Tabitha Wood says hi, by the way. Hi, Tabitha.
Hello there. You know, maybe this evening recording time is better.
What you think? Recording like in the morning on a Friday when everybody's working, it's probably not the best thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. So, and it's a week where a lot of archaeologists probably have the entire week off.
Oh.
Because, yeah. Yeah. So if they're not off for the entire season, they probably have the week off.
Oh, that's
so,
me.
Yeah. I'm actually going to do something. You know, we haven't actually gone live on this side yet.
Oh, we haven't?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Let's go double check.
Make sure everything's running smoothly. Hey, everybody, before we do the show, I just wanted to say this is going to be an unedited edition of the CRM Archaeology Podcast. Usually, I'm pretty crazy about editing, but we do this live on www.facebook.com/arcpodnet. The show is You Call This Archaeology, and we're just recording this for the CRM Arc Podcast, so sit back and enjoy.
Nice.
There is a huge delay with this whole system, so I want to make sure that...
Yeah, we've already got four viewers. We've been on live for 8 minutes, minutes 23 seconds.
Okay. Well, I'm still getting the standby thing on my side.
You are?
Yeah.
Wow, it's going to be like that, is it?
It might be.
Because, you know, I've been editing our old episodes, and it's like every episode this happens. So there'll be like 10 minutes of like, you know.
Are we live? Are we not live?
Yeah.
Yeah. So those for my audience at the, there we go. I just saw it for a second there. Anyway, I'm going to assume that we're live.
And 0% frame drop.
Okay. Yeah. For my audience at the CRM Archaeology Podcast, what you're actually listening to here, if you weren't aware, the APN has a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/arcpodnet. And that page, I am really confused by the fact that this is just showing me the standby page, by the way. I don't understand why. But when I go out here, it's live. Okay, I'm just going to keep it. Also, I'm going to shut this light off.
Ooh.
See if that does anything. It's just this wall of light behind us. Anyway, so people on the podcast, what you're listening to is a show that Richie Cruz and I call You Call This Archaeology.
Yeah.
And that's a line from Indiana Jones.
Yeah, and The Last Crusade.
And The Last Crusade, yes. So... We come on live, and the whole intent is for you to come in when we go live. We had it on a schedule for a while, but this fall, like I said, it's just been a nightmare. But perhaps for the next couple months, we might be able to keep it on a schedule unless Richie gets another job. Hopefully, Richie stays unemployed. No, I'm just kidding. Hopefully, this show is few and far between because we want Richie to be employed.
Oh, by the way, hello, Tabitha.
Yes. So anyway... This show is we're recording this live right now. You can always go to facebook.com/arcpodnet and then the videos tab to see all the past videos that we've done. And generally, you know, obviously I'm a CRM archaeologist. People know this on the CRM Arc podcast. Richie is a CRM archaeology is a CRM archaeologist, and I think you've even been on an episode or two of the CRM Arc podcast.
Yeah.
And we just talk about stuff, you know. It's called You Call This Archaeology because sometimes we just talk about other stuff that doesn't seem like archaeology, but Richie's going to make some adjustments here. That doesn't seem like archaeology, but, you know, it is because our field is so immersive in our lives that pretty much everything we do is tied to our job somehow, whereas other people...
Oh, my God, you're telling me.
They do their job, they go home, and they watch football, right? I mean, or they do yard work or something like that, and they don't think about work. Maybe they're thinking about work, but they're not asked to work, so... You know, we get home and it's like, where does that line blur? You know, you're reading books, you're doing other stuff. You know, we're doing different things that are involved in archaeology.
Oh my God. I was talking to a friend about this, like, at the beginning of the field season. And there's like a reason that she and I and other people consciously try to avoid people, you know, in our off time, mm-hmm. in our off time, who aren't archaeologists. That way, you know, we don't have to have conversations about those conversations. And I think everyone yeah. knows what conversations we're talking about, the ones that devolve into work and griping about work, and griping about the field. Whereas if you're like hanging out with someone who doesn't know anything about what you do, you know, they can't ask you anything except the silly questions like, yeah. how was your last dig? And I'm like, I walked around the woods. And they're like, oh, how much did you dig? And I'm like, I walked 10 miles a day. How yeah. much did you dig?
yeah. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So, and as just in case you're watching this in the future,
yeah,
we are recording this on November 19th. Oh, 2018 yeah. on yeah. the CRM Archaeology Podcast. This episode actually comes out on November 21st. So if people are listening to this in real time, you're listening to it the day before Thanksgiving.
Oh,
in 2018.
Wow, you're cutting this close.
A little bit, yeah. And the reason I'm cutting it close, let's kick this off. I've been at back-to-back conferences. So as most of my yeah. listeners and viewers know, I now work for WildNote. Actually, what a lot of people may not know is that... In fact, I don't think anybody knows this yet online because I haven't really publicized. In fact, I need to change my LinkedIn page. But I started consulting with WildNote in February or March of 2000.
That's was a while ago.
Of this year, yeah, of 2018. And then I increased what I was doing with them probably by May or June or so, you know, yeah. and I was basically invoicing them as an independent consultant. So through DigTech. So DigTech was basically working for WildNote for a little while.
Yeah.
I wasn't a full-time employee, but I was pretty much doing full-time hours. So,
wow.
Yeah. I mean, I had really switched everything over because it's what I really believed in. And I think this is going to be amazing for the field of archaeology, but that is neither here nor there. What yeah. I'm saying is, I was going to, continue on with these guys and keep it going. And finally, after, again, all that time, starting November 1st, I was a salaried employee with WildNote.
Wow.
I know. It's my first, like, W-2 job in 7 years.
Oh, my God. Since you got let go after that one project we worked on.
Basically, since I started DigTech, which was because I was laid off from Chambers.
Yeah, and it's yeah. always easy to remember because that was November 1st.
It was, but I didn't start my company until January. It takes a little while to set that kind of stuff up.
I know.
So I think January 8th or something like that is the 7 year anniversary or whatever of DigTech.
Wow.
7 or 8. I think it's a 7 year because the podcast is 1 year older because I started the podcast while I was at Chambers Group. So.
Oh, wait. And it was that winter that they closed that office, isn't it?
I think it was a little while later.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know that it was right away. Yeah. It was the next year, though. But I mean, Chambers Group itself was a halfway decent company. We're yeah. dealing with them. We've had
you
a
are?
Few people. Well, we've had a few people from Chambers and other offices interested in WildNote.
Neat.
And I think for other verticals, we call it, not for archaeology just yet, but it was like they've got biology departments and all kinds of stuff.
That was their main thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, initially at least. So.
Oh, and I do have something to say about that, you know, when yeah. we move on to what I've been doing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, just real quick then. So. Yeah. November 1st, I started with WildNote officially, but that didn't mean anything really changed. It just means I'm getting a paycheck now rather than billing them, and which is a little weird.
Yeah.
You know, I'm used to dealing with my own taxes at this point, but now somebody's taking taxes out for me, and that's strange. And I probably should have waited till January 1st because I'm going to have a W-2 for like 2 months of this year, which
yeah.
is irritating. But at least we don't have income tax here in Nevada, so that's good. Tabitha Yay. Says we are live on Facebook. In fact, we are live on Facebook.
Yeah.
So that's intentional, Tabitha.
Wow, you're way behind on that end.
I just, yeah, I know, I saw it. It's behind my microphone. So anyway, what I'm saying is... anyway, so November is a really tough month because what I'm doing with WildNote is sales, CRM sales.
Yeah.
I'm also doing development, not from a coding standpoint, but I'm doing development from a front-end sort of standpoint, helping
yeah.
create some of the forms that we need for CRM,
yeah.
and then QA those and make sure they're good and check all that stuff out, and then see what we need also for the field. So I'm full archaeology. I am the archaeology department with WildNote. We
Neat.
Have other people doing biology stuff, wetland stuff,
yeah.
all those sorts of things. And then we have, of course, full-time developers as well.
And by the way, I'm just going through the website.
Yeah, I see that. It's great.
Yeah.
So anyway, because I'm sales, I got to hit all the conferences. So the first week of November,
yeah.
I was in Salt Lake City for the Great Basin Anthropological Conference. And that was a good conference. It's always pretty big because it only happens every 2 years.
Oh, how are the yeah. bars in Salt Lake?
You know, we had a couple of them, but honestly, when you're in a booth all day and you're not just like watching papers or doing a presentation, you really get worn out. So my wife was there with me. She's actually temporary with WildNote to help out with the booths. And because she's also an archaeologist and or was an archaeologist anyway. Uh-huh. And so, but she's got enough knowledge and she's used the WildNote platform enough to know that to, you know, help out in the booth. And so, I mean, we get off work and it was like, you know, and I say get off work because it is work. I mean, you get off from the booth and it's like, my God, I just want to go like take a nap. We went out a few times, but it was okay. Salt Lake City is a really cool town.
Yeah.
I mean, despite all the Mormonness, it's like polarized. It's either like uber religious or uber not religious.
Oh, you're telling me. Oh, my God.
Yeah. But I love Utah in general for not only, of course, the geology and all the cool stuff there, but the towns, the street plans. The Mormons did one thing right. When they decided to make cities in Utah, they said, you know what? We're going to do this on a grid moving out from the temple. So you know the temple's in the middle of the town and everything else is 100, 200, 300 east, south, north, west. It's beautiful. So you can instantly know how to get to any address like immediately.
True. But when I was working in southern Utah, I definitely always took the every chance I could to go to Arizona.
Yes. Well, Arizona's pretty cool too.
Yeah.
So
it also has alcohol and beer.
It does. Yeah. Utah's weird laws prevent them from we had to go into a Costco because that's the only place I could think to get something affordable. But we drove to Utah because we wanted to bring a bunch of stuff with us.
Yeah.
So we drove there and it was about halfway to Utah. I realized I'd forgotten a jacket. Because my truck sits in a parking garage. Yeah. It's not cold in there.
Oh.
So I got all the stuff down there, packed it all in, and then we got like 3 hours from Reno and realized I didn't have a jacket. And it was cold. It was really cold. So we set up the booth right when we got there on that Wednesday. And then we actually went right to the opening reception, which was at the Utah Museum of Natural History, which was great.
Cool.
Kind of up on the hill on the eastern side of town. And it was just a really cool place. And they had a bunch of snacks and food. And as vendors, we got some free drink tickets. So and we had some wine and had some snacks. I met an old college professor of mine, got her set up with WildNote.
Really?
And it was a pretty cool time. And then we went to Costco right before they closed and I bought a jacket. So...
Well, I mean, they sell all sorts of cool things there.
They do, but they were closing, so I had to get a jacket, so we went there. But my point is, we were going to pick up like a bottle of wine or two just to have in our room.
Yeah.
And they don't sell wine at Costco there because of Utah's crazy laws. They sell beer, 3.2 beer, 3.2% alcohol. That's the law. I know. You have to go to a liquor store to get wine or liquor.
Oh, and they're federal employees, or they're state employees, aren't they?
I think they might be. Yeah, they do that a lot in the South, too, like... You know, the ABC stores and stuff in North Carolina and stuff, they're all state employees. So anyway, we'll get to Richie. We came back on that Saturday. I marched in the Veterans Day Parade on Sunday in downtown Reno. With my Civil Air Patrol squadron. And then Monday, did a whole bunch of work. And then Tuesday, flew to Augusta, Georgia for the Southeastern Archaeological Conference. That happens every year. I don't know if I'm going to go that way next year because it's in Jackson, Mississippi. I'm not sure if I want to go to Jackson. No, I'll
Why
probably
not?
Go. I know. I've never been. I've been through Jackson, but I've never stayed there.
Well, it just makes me think of, you know, like...
The song?
Oh, that too.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Wait, what song?
What is it? It's like, is it Johnny Cash's wife going down to Jackson? Something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, June
anyway,
Carter.
June
oh,
Carter,
my God.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking about that book, you know, the book with that was turned into the movie with Gregory, was a, you know, the dude.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jeff Bridges?
No,
Jeff Bridges.
From the 60s. Oh, my God.
Oh,
the
we're
one
going
was...
off the rails now.
Yeah.
Well, you'll think of it. So anyway, SEAC was great. Ooh. We were in the vendor room again. Had a lot of stuff to see and do in there. And Augusta is a really weird town. It's old, and there's a lot of really cool architecture because it's obviously from like the 1700s.
Yeah.
But it seemed like it was just run down. Like there was a lot of empty businesses. But at the same time, right next to like three empty buildings on the downtown streets, there was... like a hipster, you know, restaurant or something.
It's almost like here.
Kind of, you know. I mean, they're doing a lot of revitalization down here, but in Midtown down here, you're right. There's a lot of really old, weird, rundown places, but then really cool hipster food places.
By the way, To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Gregory Peck, To Kill a Mockingbird. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. I know. So anyway, that was my conferences. We got back yesterday as we're recording this. We had a 13 and a half hour travel day.
Is it 13 and a half hours though? Or is it just a long layover?
We had some layovers. So we got our plane left from Augusta at 5:38 in the morning and took us to Charlotte. And then we had about an hour in Charlotte. And then we had about 3.5 hours in Los Angeles and then back to Reno. So,
hey, what'd you do for 3.5 hours?
We walked around a bit, had lunch.
At the airport.
I mean, Los Angeles has a lot of stuff at the airport. You know, you can get through the terminals. So one cool thing from a history perspective.
Yeah.
Terminals 4 and 5 at Los Angeles are mostly American Airlines. And I think Delta or something as well. I can't remember, but it's at least American. And I was reading some of the history of LAX.
Yeah.
Because I was bored and I had internet on the plane. I wasn't bored. I was trying to find something and I wanted to get between the terminals.
Yeah.
But they're doing construction and stuff and it looked like you had to go out of security and then back in to get into another terminal. Because we were coming in on one terminal and there's not really any good food options there. We wanted to go to the other one.
Yeah.
Well, then I found out there's a tunnel that goes underground between the two terminals.
Yeah.
Right about in the middle, you know, so it goes right under all the taxiways and everything, or not taxiways, but where the planes are coming in and to the gates. And it's like a 5 to 10 minute long walk under these tunnels to get from one side to the other. And then I was reading back when they first made this airport, they were designing it back in, I think, the 50s or something.
Yeah.
And they had this central hub for ticketing. And then the idea was you'd take this long tunnel to get out to your terminal as like spokes. Well, that never worked out, but they still had the tunnel concept in a lot of places. And apparently this tunnel between the terminals was closed down for a few years after 9/11 because of security concerns, and then they opened it back up when they started doing a lot of construction, realized, hey, we need more traffic.
By the way, a really, really good movie tip. Those tunnels you're talking about? If you watch Point Blank with Lee Marvin, there's like a really famous scene where he's walking right through it.
Nice.
And I always remember that movie because the dude in Lethal Weapon, what's his name? Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
Did a remake of it, and when they were doing the commentary track for the original Point Blank, they're like, that movie, you know, the script was just like the script they took and threw out the window.
Mm. Nice. Nice.
Because the original Point Blank is a really good movie.
Yeah.
Like, so, Steve Soderbergh quotes it as like one of his favorites.
Not like, you're not talking about like the surfer one later on?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about.
Oh, that's Point Break.
Yeah, it's Point
That's dumb. Nice. Aha. So anyway, you know, we did all that, got back yesterday, really long day. And now I know my wife and I were headed to the Oregon coast on Wednesday for Thanksgiving with my family. And so.
Oh, wait, you're driving?
Yep, driving. Driving through the snow and all that stuff.
I mean,
it's almost better to drive because from Reno, we'd have to go to fly. We'd have to fly to like Portland or something. And maybe Eugene if you can get there, but then it's still like a 2-hour drive out to the coast.
Is there still a fire going on?
Yeah, that fire's not contained yet. Everybody's probably heard of the Paradise Fire by now, the campfire they call it.
Yeah.
Destroyed Paradise, California, where my ex-wife was born, actually, back in 1974 or whatever.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I don't know anything about her family, if they're still there, if they lost their house or what.
Oh, man. Well, if only they had raked their leaves.
Apparently. A lot of raking going on. Yeah. So.
Hopefully that never gets outdated.
Oh, my God. Friggin' Trump. So what have you been up to the last month, Richie? I don't even remember when we recorded last.
Oh, my God. I'd have to look it up since I'm actually all caught up with the downloading. But just finished up my field season.
Yeah?
And last week I was doing nothing. And this week I'm winding down all my kind of, you know, end of the field season stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I will admit, even though it hasn't snowed, it was still as cold where I was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was going to say switch the display.
Oh, whoops. Hang on. It still was cold out where I was. Like, there were mornings where it was like 1 degree.
Were you still in Nevada?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
In an undisclosed location.
Yeah. Well, we won't disclose any locations on this show.
Yeah. But more importantly, it had been, I don't know, a couple of years since I'd worn all my winter layers, and I had forgotten that I'm no longer as skinny as when I first bought them. And not skinny, you know, like, you know, stomach-wise, but skinny as in, like, shoulder-wise. Like,
you bulked up a little bit, huh?
Yeah, like, I put it on, and I could not move my freaking arms, and I was doing excavation. I'm like, crap.
Yeah.
So even though they can't see it at home, I did finally on eBay. I've been looking for one of these for years. It's a Filson wool cruiser.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It's like their heaviest weight one, and I was a little worried because, you know, because my old jacket is a Carhartt, and it's super bulky, but I got that years ago. And this one is just as warm, but it has more pockets, and it's a lot lighter.
Yeah.
And thinner.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that makes me think. I want to ask you a question about boots, but for the benefit of the CRM Archaeology podcast, I'm going to call a break right now, but we're not really going to take one for the video audience. so for the CRM Arc podcast, we will be back in just a second. Listen to this ad undoubtedly about WildNote or something like that, and become a member, arcpodnet.com/members. We just received a new member today, actually. So
oh, you did?
Yep. And cool. So yeah, do that, and we'll be back in just a second.
Yeah.
Hey, podcast fans and digital archaeologists. Have you heard about WildNote? It's a data collection app that works online or offline on your smartphone or tablet, iOS or Android. It allows you to collect field data easily, manage data efficiently, and generate data reports and site records effortlessly. We have a growing list of state site forms built in for your use and some generic forms that will work anywhere. Check out the shovel testing and photograph forms. You can get a free all-access 30-day trial today by going to wildnoteapp.com. That's wildnoteapp.com for your free 30-day trial. Now back to the show. All right, welcome back to segment two of the CRM Archaeology podcast, or you call this archaeology. We are live on Facebook, and that's what you're listening to here.
Yeah.
So when we left on the last segment, Richie, I wanted to ask you a question about boots because I saw somebody comment in one of the Facebook groups that we belong to. It was either Archaeofield Techs or North American Archaeological Tech Forum. If you're not a member of either of those, you probably should be.
Yeah.
If you're on Facebook.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Facebook at some point, too, in a minute. Although nobody's going to hear it unless, well, the CRM Arc podcast will hear it. Yeah. If you're not on Facebook, you wouldn't see it here. But so anyway, somebody posted, you know, how often, I'm going to paraphrase because I don't exactly remember, but I'm going to make up my own question based on that.
Yeah.
They basically said, how often do you replace your boots? You know, what kind of boots do you get? Stuff like that. It wasn't really.
Wait, they did? I didn't see that.
I know. I saw it a few days ago. It wasn't really asking about, like, what kind of boots, but really more what kind of longevity do you look for in boots, right? And there were a few answers. One of the people on there answered that we both know.
Yeah.
He's like, I get my boots from like the Goodwill and I replace them three or four times a season because he's buying boots that are either super cheap from my guess or are already on their last legs.
Man, because I have never replaced, I've only replaced one pair of boots.
Well, that's kind of true though, because you've like maintained your boots. You've fixed them.
Oh, that's true.
Because you get them resold.
Yeah.
I mean, getting your boots resold is like getting a new pair of boots, you know. Yeah,
but I mean, you know, except instead of spending $200 or $300, I'm only spending $30 for like three, you know, to have new heels put on.
Right, and that I think is the point I wanted to make because you're the perfect person to have on here for that because, I mean, I actually haven't done that yet, but I've thought about it a lot. If I were to ever go back into heavy field work, I'd probably look into buying a decent pair of boots that can be resold. Because if you go out and buy like a pair of hikers from REI or something, I don't even know if anybody out there would actually resold those or do anything to them.
It depends on the brand.
Yeah.
And I only noticed that because thanks to hipsters, hiking boot manufacturers have started introducing stuff that they like call their heritage or their vintage lines. And those are all, and almost all of them are resolable now.
So what makes a boot resolable?
Oh, you have to look for something called a Goodyear welt. And if you look along the bottom of the boot, there will be like stitching.
Oh, okay.
And that's where the boot connects to the heel. And then you can take the, you know, you can take it to your cobbler and they'll be able to rebuild your entire sole.
Is that like the stitching on this shoe right here, or is that just decorative stitching?
Decorative
stitching. Okay.
It's oriented the wrong way. It's oriented horizontally. Or I guess on the top as opposed to the around.
Okay.
I don't know how to describe it in a podcast terms. But basically, if you look at really high-class dress shoes, you'll know exactly what Goodyear welt is. Because you look down, you look straight down your feet, and there will be little stitching along the edges.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, take a look at that. I mean, that's a new term. I've never heard that term before.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm sure Stephen Wagner knows that term, who's usually a host of this show, of the CRM Arc podcast anyway.
Because that's actually a really common shoe term.
I've just never had a pair of shoes repaired.
Really?
Yeah. I usually buy pretty decent shoes, and I usually buy pretty decent boots, but I've never had a pair of boots resold. I mean, usually my field boots, they'll last a couple seasons. You know, back when I was really doing heavy CRM archaeology and just doing it all year long,
yeah.
It depends on where you're working, of course, too. You know, how long are your soles going to last if you're constantly walking across basalt?
It depends.
Yeah, it depends on the sole. Depends on the boots.
Yeah.
You know, so, but when they start, if they start to blow out on the side or something like that, my philosophy is there's a few things that I'm going to spend money on in CRM. Yeah. Even if I don't have any money, I'm going to find the money and I'm going to buy good boots. I'm going to buy good gloves and I'm going to keep my vehicle maintained because without all those things, I can't keep doing this job.
Yeah.
You know, so I would buy $200 to $300 boots, you know, but they'd be like really good hiking boots or steel toe hiking boots or something like that. And then when they die in a year or two, I just chuck them and get a new pair.
Although I will admit, hipsters have done good things for like vintage hiking boots, but they've done terrible things for my favorite pair of boots.
Yeah.
Because it's a long story, but years and years ago, you know, I obviously, like a lot of young archaeologists, I really liked Indiana Jones. Mm-hmm. And so I looked up what kind of boots he had. And I bought a couple of pairs.
Mm-hmm.
And now, thanks to hipsters, one pair of what they call Alden 405s, I think is the model name.
Yeah.
You can buy one pair of Alden 405s for what I got two pairs.
So they've increased the price.
Yeah. And I should point out, I bought them like before hipsters came along. They were actually thinking about discontinuing them. And that's when I bought them. That's why I bought two pairs. Because I thought they were going to be discontinued forever. And then they invented the hipster.
Right. Right. the invention of the hipster.
And god damn, they are like the most comfortable pair of boots I've ever owned in my life.
So two things surprised me about your story just now.
Yeah.
One, the fact that you looked up what type of boots Indiana Jones wears and presumably you found the ones that he was actually wearing for shooting.
Yeah.
And two, they must have done some research and actually found some decent boots that would be authentic and believable.
No.
They didn't. Because you went and bought the boots.
Well, the thing is, when Harrison Ford was a carpenter in the 70s, those are the boots he swore by.
Oh.
When he was on his feet all day doing manual carpentry labor work. Those are the boots he always wore. So when they started filming the movie, he insisted on them.
So they didn't do any research. He just wore them.
Yeah.
And he already knew.
Yeah.
That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I know costume designers are pretty amazing people, but they find stuff that looks good on camera that's not necessarily functional.
Yeah, but Harrison Ford swore by these boots so much that they let him use them.
Yeah, yeah. Hot. Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I imagine Harrison Ford, as rugged of an individual as he is, probably had a lot of clothing and at least boots that, you know, a real Indiana Jones would wear.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, he was doing carpentry work. I mean, how many archaeologists have a closet full of Carhartt stuff?
Yeah, I know. Actually, I don't anymore.
You don't?
No, I've got a couple of things, but I've gotten rid of most of it.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
It depends on what it is, though.
Well, also, my body, as you can see, not a small person, I run hot.
Oh.
So I typically never really needed Carhartt stuff. Like, I have a bunch of clothing, and honestly, when it's really cold, it's usually really windy where we work, right?
Yeah.
So the thing that really gets you is the wind.
Yeah.
You know, you can have warm clothes all you want, but if the wind's coming through, you're going to be cold.
Yeah.
And so for me, I have usually dry wicking type material.
Same here.
If I really need it, I have like the really, really tight fitting, like silk long johns kind of things.
Yeah.
And because they don't chafe. You know, because chafing can be a problem for us, and they're tight to your skin, which you really need. So I wear those, and then I'll wear, you know, usually some kind of half decent jacket, but I don't like to be bulky. But often I'll put my I've got a Columbia raincoat that I bought like years ago, and I'll put that on because it's lightweight, but no wind gets through it. And it really just keeps the wind off of me, and my body keeps the rest of me warm because I run hot anyway. You know, I'm making heat inside. All you have to do with your clothing is trap that heat.
Yeah,
and that's what the raincoat does for me.
Wow, because normally I wear coveralls or overalls.
Overalls, yeah,
yeah, and then over that I'll have obviously my long johns,
mm-hmm.
and then a collared shirt, sometimes a tie.
Yeah, yeah,
and then I'll have either a wool vest or a wool sweater. And then on top of that, another wool vest.
Oh, yeah.
And then now, I used to have Carhartts over that, but now I'm just going to have another wool jacket.
It's getting cold.
I know.
Got to do everything you can to stay warm.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. You know what else helps you stay warm? Hmm. Now that I don't carry a clipboard in my backpack, you know, because digital archaeology, plenty of room for your jet boil to make coffee on your lunch break.
Oh my God. You know what Facebook reminded me of today?
What's that?
On the Ruby pipeline, I actually carried one of those little, oh God, it wasn't a jet boil, but it was one of those ones that used like the, one of those little pocket ones that used the little, little white, pill, the big white pill that you light on fire.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I forget what you called those. Hopefully someone out there knows what I'm talking about.
You just put that on the ground?
Yeah, you know, to keep myself, to like, you know, I was using it to heat up my hands.
Yeah, well, you got to be careful in dry environments with that kind of stuff.
It was total, trust me.
Yeah.
It was not dry.
Yeah.
It was very windy and very wet and sometimes snowy.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah, in the wintertime, it's a little less of a problem, you know, dryness.
My God, you know what I've been doing this week that is terrible?
Mm.
And yet, you know, better?
Mm.
Normally, at the end of the field season, I've got a bunch of leftover cans and crap. And, you know, I stick that in my cupboard and I don't look at them again. And sometimes I use them next season. Sometimes they go into trash because they're expired.
Yeah.
Well, last week and starting this week, I have been going through those cans. And, oh, my God. That's why, you know, when you called me earlier, when you were sending me those messages, I was at I was at the street at a fancy coffee shop getting something else to eat besides Spam.
Besides what was in your pantry?
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, technically it wasn't in my pantry. It was just in the back of my truck and I just brought it in my kitchen.
Well, some for serum archaeologists, the back of your truck is your pantry.
That's true. Oh, my God.
You never have any old cans of Pringles, though, do you? Those go fast.
It depends. I've got one in there now, but I did finish another one.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
Mainly because I went to one of the first things I did when I got back to town is I went to Capriati's. And for most people who out there, I don't know, is Capriati's like, is that Nevada only?
I think it's Reno area only, isn't it?
Oh, alrighty.
Yeah.
Because they have a turkey cranberry sandwich. And I was thinking about that.
Hmm? The gobbler.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Yeah. And I'm like, I need that when I get back to town.
Yeah, it's so good.
And, you know, obviously you need chips to go with that.
It's got turkey, cranberry, stuffing.
Yeah.
All in a sandwich, and they sell it year-round.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I know. It's delicious. Yeah, it's delicious.
I almost feel like going out and get another one, but I can't. I've got something on my crock pot.
If there was one on my way home, I'd probably stop and get it.
Oh, my yeah. God. It's actually, God, there's, God, I guess the closest one is on the other side of the freeway.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm already walking like over a mile home, and I don't want to go the other side of the freeway.
Interesting. Have you ever hit up the trivia night at that bar right on the river?
No, haven't done it.
Oh, because yeah. It's every Tuesday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. There's a meetup group there.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. Well, anyway.
By the way, 1 Million Cups is on meetup for some reason.
Well, that's because it's a meetup.
It is?
Pretty much. You can go there anytime you want.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Check out 1 Million Cups in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
If you're interested in seeing new companies and talking to other entrepreneurs and people interested in that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's totally open for everyone.
Wow. No, I just didn't know it was a meetup.
Well, it's not. They just put it on meetup because it is an event that happens periodically, and that's what's on meetup.
Oh.
So, you can call it a meetup if you want, but they have their own website as well.
Oh.
Yeah. So.
All right. You were about to say?
Well, I was going to ask you, so... You know, it's always feast or famine here and in CRM archaeology. And I know you were working at the bookstore over the summer and then started getting some work and then work dried up a little bit and started getting some more work. And usually when people are starting to get into wintertime, which we're pretty solidly into now, we haven't had any snow yet, but that's Reno. We don't get a lot of snow to begin with. Excuse me.
Uh-oh.
But the... I was just going to say, I mean, you seem to be doing all right. You had some work, and now you've got some other possible work coming up?
Surprisingly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, one of those things unlike a lot of other people, I have been, still sending out resumes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, some people, they got on a company at the beginning of the season, they just stop.
Yeah, that's a big mistake.
Yeah, always.
Yeah.
It's like, what's his name says, you know, don't dig the well before you're thirsty.
Well, yeah. And even if you get to a job and you get into a situation where you're getting hired, you're filling out paperwork, and they're like, yeah, we've got all these projects. We got all this stuff lined up.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're lying. They like to be optimistic, but you're at the whim of the construction industry, basically.
Yeah.
And they may or may not, unless you're getting on a job that is like 2 years worth of field work, that's the only kind of security you can really expect, right? And even then, you can be let go at any time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even if you're sitting there and they're like, oh, yeah, we want to do this and this and this and we've got all this work, keep putting out those resumes because the worst thing you can do is say no to a job.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not that big a deal.
No.
You know, they probably expected that a certain number of people are already going to be employed when they try to hire them. But that dream job that you might get could be the one that calls you. And sure, you'll have to upset the people you're with now, and maybe you've only been with them for a few weeks, but an even better, more long-term job comes up. You got to take it.
See? Oh, my God. Although it does lead to some weirdness with unemployment sometimes.
Yeah, well.
Because, you know, you have to say that you left the job early, and then you have to set up an interview, and they have to say the whole thing. Like, the project was going to end, like, in 3 days, and this other project was starting up, so I just left a few days early.
Yeah, but if you're going from one job to the next, and you don't have a gap where you need to collect unemployment, then I don't think I would worry about it, you know?
Oh, well, no. It's just like I just set up unemployment.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now I have to do the stupid interview.
Yeah.
You know, I hate that.
I know. You got to explain it to them at least once.
I know.
But that's okay. And sometimes maybe you are going to have a gap between two jobs, and it doesn't hurt to ask them if they will just mark it as a layoff, you know, or something like that.
Rather than you quitting. Yeah.
You know.
Oh, interesting.
If you got to leave early.
Yeah.
Just see if they'll call it a layoff, you know, because it's no real skin off of their nose to call it a layoff.
Huh.
You know, so, but sometimes people don't like doing it for whatever reason.
By the way, this has been an unusually busy year. Like, I may have work starting as soon as like right after the new year, which is crazy. That hasn't happened since you and I went up the, since you and I went up 395 together.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, this project that's starting, you know, it's in a certain part of the country, and I'm like, oh, I've been there before. You know, I did this project there. And she's like, oh, I've heard of that. Let me get off the phone with you as quickly as possible.
Nice.
Yeah, it's
nice.
The one where you and I first met.
Yeah.
I think it's funny that how many years later and people still recall it and not fondly.
It was so mismanaged. I know. Yeah, well, either way, I hope that the jobs that you're looking at this winter are in areas that, you know, either won't get snowed out or don't get snow very much.
Oh. Because
that's the only thing that shut them down.
Speaking of which, you know, surprisingly enough, people have been looking at my LinkedIn.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And I'm kicking myself because, you know, hopefully people have been watching the You Call This Archaeology podcast, remember, but I was doing the whole digital marketing thing.
Yeah.
And I set the whole thing with LinkedIn to send me job notifications about a year ago. Nothing, month after month.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly it's just been a steady in-stream. Like, not like, you know, not like a bajillion, but like, you know, from zero to like one or two a week.
Now, what kind of companies are looking at you?
Oh.
Is this archaeology? Is this digital marketing?
Digital marketing, hopefully.
Wow.
For some of them. Well, at least some of them. Like, you know, I'm not going to mention names, but certain, you know, archaeology companies have been looking at me.
Yeah.
But the point is that, man, I wish I had been doing digital marketing the whole time.
I mean, with something new, even with something old, you got to keep grinding at it before something happens.
Oh, I know. And you know what I was doing last night?
Hmm.
Well, with my new phone over there, which I should probably turn off before the battery dies because it's already done recording. But, God, I was downloading like Google Analytics. I was downloading all these SEO tools and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, just trying to get back in the swing of it.
Nice.
Yeah. And I've already been sketching out ideas for the APN again.
Well, there you go. And
because wasn't there someone else interested?
We've got technically three people working on marketing for the APN right now. They're all doing really micro tasks, which is great because it's a lot of work, you know.
Yeah, but
so,
I haven't seen the newsletter, the weekly email newsletter lately.
It went out last week.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, what day is it today?
Yeah, I don't know if it went out today. I don't think it went out today.
Oh.
But either way, we've got people working on it, and, you know, adding more people to the team is always beneficial. So,
yeah.
But that's what I'm saying, though. You know, we talk about this a lot on the You Call This Archaeology show, which is, and we've talked about this on the CRM Archaeology podcast as well, which is you got to have kind of a side hustle.
Yeah.
You know, because not only should you have a side hustle, but I feel like archaeologists are the type of people that, you know, the ones that stick with it are the ones that kind of like to think about, quote, work all the time.
Yeah.
They like to think about archaeology. You're always doing stuff. You know, sure, you need a vacation every once in a while from it, but you're always kind of on with archaeology, right? As we said, not like other jobs. So sometimes having a side hustle is a better deal than just sitting around and loafing around and watching TV all night, because I feel like we get bored doing that.
Oh, God.
You know, a lot of us do. So
Well, it depends.
I mean, sometimes you got to binge watch a TV show. Don't get me wrong. But if you have a side hustle, that can be like a real active thing you do that's not archaeology.
Yeah.
You might be able to tie it in somehow someday, but it's not archaeology, and it's something else that you're focusing on and doing, and it's taking up some of your energy.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You know what else someone mentioned to me lately?
Hmm.
She's like, you know, God, it's kind of like you've got a brand. I'm like, I didn't even think about it that way.
It is your brand. Bill White wrote about that, host of this show.
Oh.
He wrote about your personal brand in his blog. Yeah. And I really took that too, and I started writing about it as well and talking about it. Whether you, like, I have a friend who, when I told her about this, you know, the concept of having a personal brand to her, she's like disgusting. She's like, she doesn't put herself out there. She's on all the socials, but she doesn't post or comment or do anything.
Really?
She's a lurker. My wife is kind of a lurker, but that's okay.
Huh.
And you know, when I was talking to her about the concept of a personal brand, she's like, oh, that's gross. I don't even like thinking about people self-promoting themselves like that. And I was like, yeah, but it's not that. You can do no promotion whatsoever, but anybody that knows you paints a picture of you in their head when they think about you. That's your brand.
Yeah. Like, do you show up on time? You know, do you, are you that person who smells gross when you get in the field truck in the morning?
Well, and it can be something simple as somebody that's never actually met you. They've just seen you somewhere, you know. You've got a certain brand for sure, you know. Some people have an understated visual appearance.
Bah.
Richie has a very curated visual appearance that he wants to put out there, and he does. And it's consistent.
Yeah.
You know, people know who Richie is when they see him, right?
Yeah.
Even if they've never talked to you or met you before.
Yeah.
If they've seen you, they're like, oh, I remember that guy.
Yeah.
That's your brand.
Yay.
I know. And your brand can be good. Your brand can be bad, but it's your brand. And the thing I think Bill was making the point of, and I've made the point as well too, is as long as you're going to have a brand, whether you like it or not, you may as well start cultivating it. You may as well start putting that out there. And that's why, I mean, there's definitely people I know on Facebook that are probably great archaeologists, but I'll tell you what, I would never work with them because of what they put out on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
They're just either angry or ignorant or something. And I'm like, listen, you probably know everything about the prehistory of whatever the hell, but I don't care. You're not a person I want to be around, you know?
Ah, that's true.
Because they're not cultivating their brand properly. Have those views, but don't put them in groups where other archaeologists are. Watch who you put on your friends list.
Well, being fun to work with is more important than anything else. Well, I guess not fun, but more like, you know, easy to work with.
Sure. Well, like myself, I've got a lot of, to some people, probably really controversial views on things in the world, right? And some people may like that and some people may not. But I am an outward salesperson for WildNote. I run the Archaeology Podcast Network. Yeah. I have my own CRM firm. I'll tell you what, there's not a lot of stuff that I put on Facebook that I feel is really all that polarizing.
Yeah.
Sometimes I will. Don't get me wrong. It's still my Facebook page. But I accept almost everyone in as a friend because it's kind of a networking opportunity for me. And if I really wanted to just put some crazy stuff out there, I'd curate my list and I'd make special lists of just people I wanted to see that. But that's a lot of work and I don't do it. So in the end, I really just don't put a lot of controversial stuff on Facebook.
Speaking of, how is your CRM side going? Because you had news about that the last time we were talking.
Well, I did, and
it's all over.
No, it's not. It's just winter. So, you know, I've still got one project with this new sort of client base I've been given, but I'm waiting on the BLM permit.
Oh.
Yeah, it just hasn't come in yet, and it looks like it's not going to come in anytime soon. So.
Why not?
Well, first off, the guy who does all these was at the Great Basin Conference, so that week was out, and then...
Oh, did you talk to him?
No, I didn't get a chance to talk to him, but and now the Thanksgiving is this week.
That's
so
true.
You know, I'm sure the federal employees are working the first 3 days. They don't get the whole week off unless they took the whole week off. But that being said, it's just, you know, it takes a little time to do this. But the good thing is we haven't really had snow yet. And if we do get snow, anytime we get snow in like November, early December, it never sticks around.
No.
You know, so I'm not too worried about it. I'll still get out there. I've got to go all the way out to Elko.
Really?
So this is a good point, actually, because I've got all the way out to Elko to record two archaeological sites that were that had a fire pass over them this summer.
Yeah.
And this client is managing land that is owned by the BLM.
Yeah.
They're leasing that land, and the BLM's required them to do basically a fire survey to see what's left, what happened, you know, what's going on. And that brings up the fires in Paradise, California. There is so much just open land up there, unsurveyed open land up there.
That's true.
That's going to, I mean, to try to put a bright spin on something, for archaeologists, the BLM and the Forest Service and whoever manages the land that's been destroyed by this fire, the hundreds of thousands of acres, they're going to be required to do archaeological survey.
Oh, that's true.
To find out what's left.
Wow, or else My God, maybe we'll be required to carry rakes too from now on.
I mean, I'm sure if we're out there, we may as well rake. We may as well rake while we're out there. So, hey, real quick on that note, let's take our final break with the CRM Archaeology Podcast, and we'll be back in a second to wrap up this discussion and conversation on You Call This Archaeology.
This network is listener supported. We're trying to move away from paid advertising while also creating new shows and supporting the ones we have. The APN has never and will never make a serious profit on our podcast. Every little dime we make goes back into the network and improving show quality. So become a member today at www.archpodnet.com/members to show your support, get some extras, and be a benefactor for archaeological education. Members get stickers, a coffee mug, a t-shirt, bonus content, early access to episodes, a private Slack team to talk to other members and the hosts, and full access to training on Team Black over at archcert.black. So check out our memberships at www.archpodnet.com/members today and support archaeological education. That's www.archpodnet.com/members. Now back to the show.
All right, so let's go back live with the CRM Arch podcast. So welcome back to the CRM Archaeology podcast, episode 150.
Wow.
I know, 150 episodes. So... and this is the last segment, and this is being simulcast on, it's being recorded for the CRM Archaeology podcast, but it's also being broadcast on Facebook at archpodnet.com, at facebook.com/archpodnet.
Yeah.
And we go live every once in a while, so go like that page, and you'll get notifications when we go live.
Oh, and I will start uploading videos again, hopefully soon.
And you're uploading them to where?
Happy Archaeology Fun Time on YouTube.
There you go. So that's Richie's YouTube channel. Yeah. He's got a ton of other stuff up there too.
Yeah. Yeah. And soon to have more, because I actually started writing scripts again.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm just going to see who else like wants to help me out with it.
Yeah.
In terms of like interviewing. Nice. But everyone is like busy this month, obviously.
There's a lot going on.
And yet, my God, it's almost the end of the month, which is crazy.
I know. November's flying by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So... Anyway, I think I want to mention something about the CRM Arch podcast, and this is good for people watching this on You Call This Archaeology as well.
Yeah.
I'm having, let's just say, a struggle keeping that podcast going.
You are?
Yeah. It's always kind of hard just coming up with new topics and things that we haven't talked about and things that I want to discuss. I've got co-hosts for the show, but they really... And they come up with some topics occasionally, but I really need somebody who wants to join in regularly, just every 2 weeks, but be with us in the background and help come up with new ideas and really be concerned with it.
Oh, you know, it sounds like what you need is like a showrunner or a producer, like for almost individual shows.
I have a producer, but I really like an additional co-host that really sees the CRM Arch podcast as something they want to do.
Well, that's what I mean, like a showrunner.
Yeah, I guess, but also a co-host.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Carl Fegan's joined, and he says, I hope that's just me that can't hear you since you've been going for 51 minutes.
Oh, hang on.
Oh, my God. Has no one been listening to us? At least we're recording this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Alrighty.
All right.
Oh, wait. I wonder what did that?
I don't know. Sometimes when you went away from the window and came back, it muted.
I know. Uh-oh. Yeah. So it's been a while.
Well, hi, Carl. Thanks for letting us know.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Hey, at least we're recording this, and if you, for some reason, just joined us and you're still watching, this will be on archpodnet.com/CRM Arch podcast/150.
Oh, and also the You Call This Archaeology page.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, but they're only on that page when they come up on YouTube.
I know. It'll happen. So,
yeah. And Carl, thanks a lot. Carl says we're there. And Mindy joined. Mindy Hertz. She's my real estate agent. That's some other news.
Oh, I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah. So let me tell you guys, it's not every day that a CRM archaeologist goes and buys a house. But my wife and I, we are in contract or whatever they call it.
I thought you were looking at your...
it's a condo.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're looking at a condo. We're not getting the one that we're living in now.
You're not?
No, it's way overpriced.
Oh.
Yeah, $320,000 for less than 1,000 square feet.
Oh, because there's actually a house down the street for sale for like $400,000.
I know, and that's just beyond our budget anyway.
Yeah.
So it's not what I want to pay. But and Mindy says hi.
Hi there.
Carl says he votes we start all over again so we can just hear it live. Yeah. Carl, you're just going to have to wait 2 days. because this will be out on the Sierra Mark podcast on Wednesday.
Plus, you know, you can hear us ramble anytime in person.
I know, right? Right. So, anyway, I saw Carl at the last, I think I saw Carl at the last SEAC that I was at in Athens, Georgia, which was a few years ago. But Carl, if you were at the one in Augusta, Georgia, I missed you because I didn't see you.
Wait, is that where they hold a golf tournament thingy?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, that's where the highly racist golf tournament is every year.
Oh.
Yeah. So, anyway, yeah, so we're buying a townhouse, condo, townhouse. I don't know what you call it. They're all
really?
The same thing to me. And so we'll see, you know, we'll see how it goes. I mean, it's definitely not sealed up yet. I mean, we still have to have inspections and stuff next week.
Oh, my God. It's, hopefully it isn't going to be as far as your last place.
No, it's actually closer here.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, it's actually down by Virginia Lake, if you know where that's at.
Yeah.
Well, if
you're pointing the wrong way.
Oh, yeah, that way. Yeah, sorry. So Carl says his boss went. So
oh, wait,
Carl
you mean those nice, brightly pastel-colored ones?
Next to those. We looked at those. They were too narrow for me. Yeah, they were like as narrow as this room.
Oh.
Yeah, they're nice. They're three floors. But I just didn't like how narrow they were.
Wait, you mean on the other side of the street then?
No, they're still on the south side, on the southeast side of Virginia Lake, kind of between the lake and the Peppermill. There's a bunch of apartments there, and then behind those apartments, there's purchasable like townhouses.
Neat.
Yeah, so it's right in that complex. So we'll see. Like I said, it seems pretty good. I don't know what could go wrong, unless they found something in the inspection that we just couldn't get over, which is unlikely.
Yeah.
But you know, so it seems like a pretty good deal, but we won't know until probably the mid to end of December until it closes. So.
Wow, and that's going to be here before you know it.
I know, I know. And we're going to Charlotte, North Carolina for the last week of December, so that's going to be real interesting. So,
and moving's going to be double interesting.
I know. We're actually going to have probably both places for about 2 months.
Really? How come?
Yeah. Well, because instead of trying to get out of our lease early, which ends at the end of February, and also the way the house payment structure works when you close on a house, we probably won't have our first payment due until like February.
Oh.
So it's only really 1 month that we'd be doubling up on the rent.
Yeah.
But or the payment anyway.
Yeah.
And that'll give us time because we're going to buy all new appliances for this place. It's got crappy appliances in it.
Oh.
So we're going to buy all new appliances, maybe do some painting, do some other work before we move everything in. So that's what we'll be doing in January, more than likely, if we get this. And then we'll move in sometime in February, probably.
Interesting. Does this have a garage space?
It has a carport.
Oh, right. Because I was going to say, like, you know, podcasting studio or home podcasting studio / office.
Well, there is two bedrooms, and one of the bedrooms is pretty big, and there's a good space for doing that in there. But I like the collective. I was thinking about that. Those places we were looking at, the ones you thought of first with the multicolored pastel ones, there was a garage space in the bottom floor, and in the front of that was a single room that's like an office. That's all enclosed in, you know, and is ready to go. It would have been a great podcasting studio.
Interesting. How much do they rent for?
Those particular ones, I think they were around 300, give or take, depending on the unit. They were plus or minus 20 grand off of 300.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Interesting. All right. Yeah.
Well, anyway, we'll see. Like I said, I mean, I'm excited, but I don't really get my hopes up until the keys are in hand.
See? It's just like me. Like, I mean, supposedly I have work after the new year, but we'll see.
Well, I think the more poignant thing here is that I owned a house. It's actually 20 years ago.
Wow.
Really? Next year. Yeah. In Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's the first house I ever bought. Only house I ever bought. Literally ever since then, I have never lived in an area where I wanted to buy another house. Like, it's just not my ethic to think, you know, I need to own a house.
Yeah.
I need to have two kids and I need to have a dog. You know,
the thing that blows my mind is you really wanted to own a house in Tulsa, Oklahoma?
No, I didn't because I didn't know what I was doing back then, right? Like, I was out of the military. I was married at the time. You know, we went there and we actually were in a hotel for like 15 days because we didn't have any place to live when we first got down there.
Yeah.
And there was no real internet. So it was hard to find. It was hard to find places to live if you weren't in the town. So my brother helped us move. We had all our stuff in a U-Haul truck just sitting there. Like, we were just paying to sit there in a freaking truck while we were at the hotel looking for places to live. And we found this like apartment that was with no contract. It was like by the month.
Yeah.
And that turned out to be a nightmare. That apartment was just junk. And based on that, we decided to buy because that's the model that we grew up with. You know, you buy a house. So we bought a house and owned it for about 2 years.
Yeah.
And then I transferred from Spartan School of Aeronautics to the University of North Dakota in North Dakota. And we actually were looking at buying a house up there.
Wow.
But there was nothing, because again, that's the mindset I grew up with. And
yeah, but North Dakota?
Trust me. Luckily, we never bought a house up there. And I ended up renting, and then we got divorced, you know, a few years later. And so that would have been a nightmare.
But man, during the fracking boom, you could have sold for like a really big profit.
Yeah, if I lived way out that direction. I was on the other end of the state.
Well, that's true.
So anyway, I haven't bought a house since, and shovel bumming, you're like, where am I even going to stay that is I'm going to want is like a base of operations? Where's that going to be? So I've never really thought of any place I want to live, but turns out Reno's not such a bad place to live.
Yeah.
You know, it's really nice here. The town is getting better every year. There's stuff coming in. We've got the high desert to the east. We've got the mountains to the west. We don't get a lot of snow, but we've got 40 feet of snow 30 minutes away.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, there's a lot of good things here. The only thing I complain about really is, you know, I travel a lot because for work and other things, and it is a bitch flying out of Reno.
Yeah. At least we have an airport.
We have an airport, but you got to go from Reno to somewhere within an adjacent state to go anywhere.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh my God. You know, this is a perfect time for me to jump in and rant about the fact that my favorite bar in Midtown closed.
Oh yeah.
Suddenly, like literally, like the bartender and I were talking before I left. I was like the last customer there that night, like their last night. And I finally convinced this bartender to talk to her manager about carrying my favorite brand of whiskey. And then I go there a few days later, closed.
And they're done.
Yeah, and for those of you who live in Reno or Nevada, I'm talking about Under the Rose.
Oh yeah, you go there all the time.
Yeah, like it's done.
They didn't just move?
No, they are closed.
I tell you, well, restaurants and bars and stuff, I mean, they've got a 50% success rate or less.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, it was a surprise to everyone.
Yeah.
And more importantly, I've been looking for trying to find a new home bar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hipsters have ruined this bar for, have ruined this town for, like, beer. First off, most of the bars around here, they're only cocktail bars.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want a cocktail every night. Sometimes I just want to sit there and have a beer. And the places that do serve beer, they all serve light beers or IPAs. And I'm like, those are gross.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. They're all right every once in a while. Like, I need a crisp, refreshing beer sometimes, but it's stout and porter season. And, like, there's only one bar within even a remote walking distance that actually carries a porter / stout.
Yeah.
And that's Kiehl's.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I did find out, though, that they have awesome internet.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, but they, their hours are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other thing. Like, most of the bars around here that have porters or stouts, they close around 10.
Hmm.
And that's the time usually when I'm like, you know, I'm going to write an email, but I want to, you know, a beer too.
Yeah.
And I'm not even joking. Like, you know, obviously I don't send it that night,
mm-hmm.
but I do write like a lot of my email correspondence at the bar, especially now that I got this new big phone. Like I can do all sorts of things with all the apps.
Hey, it's like a computer, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
And nice. Oh my God, I don't know if Apple, I guess Apple must do it, you know, with iOS, but like having, you know, the ability to have multitasking or two windows, mm-hmm. two apps open at the same time and YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. I don't know if Apple does YouTube too.
It does. It will do video in a pop out now. But it only does multitasking on the iPad versions.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's possible the bigger phones do it. I have the iPhone 10, so I don't know if the bigger screens do it yet.
Oh, all right. Because you know, for my phone, like you know, I can like multitask and watch YouTube all at the same time. I just gotta move the screen around.
Yeah.
You know, the thing.
It is pretty cool. Android's really got that going.
Yeah.
They've been really perfecting that.
The only problem is that unlike iOS 12 or whatever version mm-hmm. it is now, my God, it took like 7 updates, right, to finally like finish updating. Like
nice.
every time I looked, it was downloading a new new update.
Yeah.
And it took 3 days.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
And the first update, it actually used half my data this month, which mm-hmm. really pissed me off.
Yeah.
Oh, which is why, you know, always turn that off.
I know. All right. Well, I think we're going to call that. It's about an hour for this CRM Archaeology podcast.
Oh, it is.
Give or take. And there's some stuff on the front and back. So,
yeah.
So let's call this. It's, you know, 6 p.m. here in Reno. It's dark. Richie and I both have a cold walk back to our houses. And we still got to pack up. So thanks, everybody, for listening. If you're on the CRM Arc podcast and listening to this, please go like the Facebook page if you're on Facebook, facebook.com/arcpodnet, and you'll get to see when we go live
yeah.
and anything else we do.
Yeah.
And that was my last comment in the last minute or two here on Facebook. If you're on the Sierra Mark podcast and you're like, I don't use Facebook anymore, or I don't go to Facebook.
Yay.
I got to tell you, you know, social media is what you make of it.
Yeah.
I would say if you don't have Facebook, go get it. If you had Facebook but you haven't used it, go there. Unfriend literally everyone. In fact, I have a friend on there who I got a friend request from like a week ago.
Yeah.
And I don't know if she'd been hacked or what because I got a friend request from her. It turns out she just like got so fed up with her friends list, she canceled her old account and made a new one.
Ah.
I mean, that's the problem. People hate social media because of the people they have on there.
Yeah.
You know, curate your list. You don't have to tell all your family and crazy friends that you're on there. Curate your list. Go to the groups you want to see.
Yeah.
And you'll have an enjoyable time. And on top of that, a lot of the groups that we're in for archaeology, I think, are really productive.
I think
you're missing out on stuff. If you're not part of those groups, you're missing out on a really important conversation that's happening.
Yeah.
Not just BS, you know, what I had for breakfast stuff. You know, that's what Instagram is for.
Well, but, it depends.
Yeah.
And Twitter.
Twitter's got some really good stuff on there, too, if you follow the right channels.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to follow the right people, even. You can follow zero people on Twitter, but follow hashtag CRMark, hashtag archaeology, hashtag historic, whatever you want. Yeah. You know,
like I started reading, what's her name's, the person who does the Archaeo Animals podcast. I started following her blog.
Alex Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, because of her Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's got a pretty active Twitter account. Always putting really cool stuff up there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, which is why that and her interview on the Women in Archaeology podcast, they interviewed her about zooarchaeology. And I, of course, edited that show. It was one of the last ones they did on the APN. And I contacted Alex and I said, listen, you sound great. You got a lot of energy. Do you want to do your own podcast on zooarchaeology? And now she has a show on the APN.
Neat.
Yeah, so check out Archaeo Animals on arcpodnet.com.
Oh, I've got an idea that right after we finish filming.
Yeah, and I'll say one last thing, too. If you want to advertise on the APN, I redid all our advertising pages. So,
oh, you did?
Yeah, arcpodnet.com/ads, or you can go to the APN, just arcpodnet.com, and there's a text link there that will take you to that page.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so you can see the shows that we have that are current, that you can put advertising on, the audio shows. We don't do advertising on this show because it's live.
Yeah.
But and it's unpredictable.
Well, I mean, the best we could do is like ask for people to subscribe on like YouTube or something.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, and we do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no. The thing is, now it's like Twitch where you can become like you can give people tips and stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Just make sure our mics don't die over there, whatever you're doing.
Uh-oh. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
They just did. Okay. Oh, wait, no, we're good.
Okay. And Carl Fegan says, check out Archaeology Review on Facebook for the latest archaeology news. He also runs the Fraudulent Archaeology channel, too.
Oh, he does?
Or Fraudulent Archaeology something or other. What is it? Fraudulent
really?
Archaeology Wall of Shame.
Wait, what is that?
Well, if anybody out there, if you see somebody, you know, spouting ancient aliens crap or something like that, there's been some recent stuff again about the Bosnian pyramids. People think they were alien created. Carl had a great response to somebody who didn't understand where magnetism comes from on the planet. He just
alien spaceship at the center of the earth.
I'll tell you what, Carl is a saint with his patience, and he'll put a really well-reasoned scientific explanation for something to these people that are just like off their nut on some of this stuff.
But the thing is, sometimes, you know, I think the thing is that sometimes it's just not the real explanation, just isn't as much fun.
Yeah, well, I understand. And I think that's it. Their lives are super boring, so they want it to be aliens.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Or racism.
Right.
Because, you know, obviously Native Americans couldn't have built anything.
I know.
And neither could the Egyptians.
Carl says he tries not to alienate the fringe.
Why not?
Which is good.
That's true.
Because if you alienate them, they're just going to band together, and then their ideas will feed off each other. You know,
you need to
friend them and educate them.
Oh, that's true.
You know,
and you know, next thing you know, they band together, and suddenly all the liberals have to go through the forest with rakes.
That's right. You never want that. And on that note, I think we're going to say goodbye to both the Sierra Mark podcast, episode 150, and You Call This Archaeology, episode 49. If we had better coordination, this would have been episode 50 and episode 150, but we didn't do that because we thought about it literally today.
Oh, that's true.
I want to thank Richie for co-hosting this sort of emergency episode of the CRM Archaeology podcast. And I think, like I said, we're going to call it there. And we'll be back next time with another episode. And again, like the Facebook page so you can get updates on this. And go over and like Richie's YouTube page at
Happy Archaeology Fun Time, because there'll be like the full audio there.
That's right. All right, everybody. Thanks a lot for joining. And tell everybody where you saw all these things. And we'll see you next time.
Yeah, see you.
Thank you.
That's it for another episode of the CRM Archaeology Podcast. Links to some of the items mentioned on the show are in the show notes for this podcast, which can be found at www.arcpodnet.com/CRM Arc Podcast. Please comment and share anywhere you see the show. If you'd like us to answer a question on a future episode, email us. Use the contact form on the website or just email chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com. Support the show and the network at arcpodnet.com/members. Get some swag and extra content while you're there. Send us show suggestions and interview suggestions. We want this to be a resource for field technicians everywhere, and we want to know what you want to know about. Thanks to everyone for joining me this week. Thanks also to the listeners for tuning in, and we'll see you in the field. Goodbye.
Oh, see you later.
This show is produced and recorded by the Archaeology Podcast Network, Chris Webster and Tristan Boyle, in Reno, Nevada, at the Reno Collective.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archpodnet.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.
And now you're seeing behind the scenes. We're not actually anywhere. We're still live on Facebook.
Oh my God, this is just like PBS. Just like PBS during the pledge drives.
I know, right?
Oh my God. Oh.